It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hi there. Welcome back to the show. So glad you could spare a few moments with us today. You can always send me an email and ask a question or make a comment or just say hello. On the show today, I have the great pleasure of having Dr. Stephen R. I. with me. Dr. I is a board-certified family practitioner and medical director of Hoag's Chemical Dependency Recovery Center. You know, it just touches so many families, the subject at hand. And I'm wondering, doctor, is there a 12-step program for prescription pill addiction like there is for alcoholism, or is it the exact same program that people who are abusing alcohol use to overcome their pill addiction?
Well, actually, there are separate Pills Anonymous meetings, and we do have a few per week here at Hoag Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The 12-step programs in general have, there's numerous offshoots, including Narcotics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Emotions Anonymous, and actually there are some Pills Anonymous meetings. They do use the same 12 steps.
Uh-huh.
One thing that is somewhat different is that a person can go through their life without ever using alcohol again. There's no real medical reason that a person would ever need alcohol.
Right.
But there are situations where pain medication may be warranted. Certainly if there was a traumatic injury, just because someone has an addiction to Vicodin, and let's say they're clean and sober for 3 or 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and they have an accident and they require surgery, you're not going to, you know, withhold medication just because that person has had a surgery. So
right.
there's some differences in terms of how recovery actually plays out. Considering that, then one of the things that we look at is whether or not they're abusing their medication, not
mm-hmm.
just using it.
Okay.
In general, though, for people that have prescription drug addiction, we want them on no drugs of abuse. Certainly they can be on whatever forms of medication they need that are not abusable. So blood pressure medications, maybe an antidepressant, whatever,
mm-hmm.
those are all fine.
Okay. Interesting, because, you know, in the old school, it was just working the 12 steps and abstinence. That was
right.
that was the plan. And I've heard some recent advances, in at least with the alcoholism program, that they are starting to look at some drugs to help wean people off alcohol. Are there similar drugs that are helping people off pain pills?
Well, there is a medication that's been available since 2002 here in the United States. It's actually been legal to prescribe for opiate addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to 2002, the only medication that could be prescribed for addiction that was an opiate was methadone, and you
wow.
typically had to have a special license for it. So it was not commonly used. But this new medication, the generic name is buprenorphine, and the trade name is Suboxone.
Mm-hmm.
And it binds to the opiate receptors in the brain. It acts a little bit differently than a full opiate agonist.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that addiction medicine physicians and certainly anyone who goes out and gets the special DEA license to prescribe it can use it to help people wean off of prescription pills. They could be using it to wean somebody off of heroin or
mm-hmm.
a street form of an opiate. And it's been very, very helpful for us. We see people that are taking colossal doses of pain pills at this point, and if they
mm-hmm.
had to go cold turkey the way they used to,
right.
it would have been very, very challenging.
So you really help people through the process?
Absolutely. Right.
What
we
kind
try
of program
to,
do you have? Say my sister has a deep, deep pill addiction problem. I would take her to you, and where would you start?
Well, first we would start with a comprehensive assessment, and that would include a nursing assessment, and then my history and physical. And based on the information that we obtained, we would put her on some type of detox protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And we would follow her closely with 24-hour nursing care, daily physician visits, to get her safely detoxed in our program. During that time, she would then sit down and speak to the staff about rehab, whether or not she's ever done any type of rehab,
mm-hmm.
what she's willing to do, what we think might be a good idea, what the resources are, because we know that the longer people stay in treatment, the higher their recovery rates,
right.
and that detox really isn't treatment. Detox is detoxification. The real treatment comes during rehabilitation.
Right. That's how you make the program for the rest of their lives. So you outline a plan for them to stay in recovery.
Right. And, you know, that's interesting that you would use that word, because that's one of the words that I use with people. And I tell them that there's a big difference between stopping and staying stopped.
Right. It's an every hour procedure.
Right.
And, you know, it can be a joyful one. It doesn't have to be all tough work.
No. You know, I hear people tell me things like, this is the best they've slept in years.
Right.
It's the best they've felt in, they can't remember how long.
Mm-hmm.
There's a freedom with sobriety that is so pleasurable, you know, because a person really that has got to the point where their life has been taken over by alcohol and drugs, they're controlled by it. When they're no longer controlled by it, there's such freedom.
Right.
There's the opportunity to connect with their family, their loved ones, et cetera. So,
because when they have the addiction, it's so much of inward looking, and you don't really have time to concern yourself with other people because you're so self-concerned.
That's right.
Now, kids and pills, big, big problem in our country today. Should parents keep a lock on their medicine cabinets?
You know, that's a good question. And I think that it depends a little bit on what they have in their medicine cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on sort of the nature of how things are at home, the relationship you have with your teenagers. I would say this, I don't personally have teenagers at this point, but when I do, and if I have pain medication, I would probably keep it hidden.
Right. Well,
would I have it in a, locked? I'm not sure if I would have it locked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's going to meet the decor standards here in South Orange County. But but having it in a place where it's unavailable to our teenagers is very important.
So there isn't even the temptation.
That's right. That's right.
Is it peer pressure that is causing kids to do things like go into their parents' medicine cabinets and take whatever they can find?
Well, I think peer pressure has something to do with it. Certainly it has to do with, you know, whether it's drinking alcohol or smoking marijuana or using other types of drugs. But I think the real temptation with pills is that it's so much easier to use.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier to conceal. There's this really false sense that it's safer. And the pills can be very, very effective at producing the high that someone's looking for. So in a situation where a person is looking at, let's say, a high school student smoking marijuana versus taking a pill, there is a lot more work involved with smoking marijuana and concealing it versus having a pill. You can put a pill in your pocket and hide it very, very easily.
Right.
You can't, you know, hide marijuana as easily, although people do, but you've got to smoke it and not get caught. You've got to not smell like it.
Right.
You've got to carry around the Visine. There's a lot more to it. And sadly, these kids have become very good pharmacists, and they know the pills as well as we do in the field of addiction medicine.
That's the scary truth. So sit down with your kids, talk to them, know what's going on, make your medications unavailable to them. Any other things that you can do to help your kids?
I think having an open dialogue is so helpful. Letting your kids know that you're real and that you understand that temptations are there.
Yeah.
And that they're, you know, some of their friends may be using it. They're going to hear about it and talk to them.
And we have a final question, Doctor, from Lynn in Long Beach. What exactly is chemical dependency?
Chemical dependency would be a way of defining or describing addiction. Addiction, whether it's to alcohol or drugs, you could simplify as the three C's. A loss of control over what you're using, a compulsion to use that drug or alcohol, and continued use despite adverse consequences. So
that
chemical
was a mouthful,
dependency
but
and
very
addiction,
well said.
Yeah, really similar words to define the same thing.
Lynn, I hope that was helpful to you. We're talking today with Dr. Stephen R.I., the medical director of the Hogue Chemical Dependency Recovery Center, and it's been very enlightening. Thank you so much, Doctor, for being on the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
And for more information on Dr. I, you can visit hoaghospital.org and check out his biography and photo to learn a little bit more about his area of expertise and, of course, about the recovery center itself. You can also listen to a podcast of this show anytime you like or share it with a friend. It's really important, free information you can carry with you on your iPhone or MP3 player. It can be life-changing. Just download the podcast onto your personal player and listen wherever you like. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. Thanks so much for listening and have yourself a wonderful day.